as we talk about relationships for the next 6 weeks. And it's not just marriage, but it is relationships. How do we treat one another? How do we find a mate? What are we looking for? What do we run from? You know, all this stuff that's going on. And so that's what this year on relationships is about. We're going to be covering 5 topics. So we're on relationships for 6 weeks, this being week 1. And then we're going to cover 5 topics each week. And we're going to cover them in the order that I believe is the most damaging to the relationship, and then we work our way from there, okay? So we'll talk about number 1, the main reason for relationship failures, whether it's a marriage, a friendship, a work relationship, no matter what it is. Number 1 reason that the relationship fails is communication. Or should I say the lack thereof? My daughter Tori, she plays volleyball at Columbia, and they had a tournament yesterday, and they took first place in the tournament. So yeah, they rocked it out, right? Yeah, yeah. She's really embarrassed now that I pointed her out. Tori, stand up so everybody knows who you are, and that'll really embarrass her. But they took first place, and you know the biggest thing that I found that we were yelling out there is, come on, girls, you got to talk to each other. You have to communicate, because 2 of them would go at the same time, and then and next thing you know, they got tangled up and the ball hits the ground. And it's like, you got to communicate. Number 1 failure of relationships, communication, or the lack thereof, obviously. Number 2 failure of relationships is cash. Financial issues. Either one doesn't know how to spend money, or the other one has the problem of spending money. And so, you know, it's the cash flow, and no cash causes conflict. And so no cash. We're talking about cash. And then the next week is going to be on contacts. See, they all start with a C. I'm trying to keep it simple. So contacts. And you go, what's contacts got to do with relationships? How about Facebook? That's a huge issue. Social media and those people you hang out with, your contacts, are the next problem with relationships. And so you have to be careful and cautious of that. And then the fourth one we're going to cover is commitment. Where's the commitment? And by the way, when I talk about relationships, I'm not just talking from human to human. I'm talking us and God. You know? I mean, what does all this look like? And that's what we're going to unfold today on relationships. And then the fifth one that I'm going to talk about and we'll finish up with is character. Character. You know, your character determines all the rest. Your character determines your relationships. Your character determines your relationship with God. God's character shows us our relationships, whether they're healthy or bad. We're going to talk about character and how God's character and how he loves us, and through his character, he can take care of every one of our needs. And we're going to talk about that. So you guys know the next 5 weeks, those are the topics we're covering. And it's all about relationships. Well, how important are relationships? They are incredibly important. If you have a Bible, open it to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. And we're gonna start. By the way, Matthew is the first book of the New Testament. And so if you find Malachi, just keep going to the right. And you'll find Matthew eventually. How many are from the Happy Days era? Yeah, those were happy days, weren't they? And they had the Malachi brothers on there. And of course, we never knew we had a prophet named Malachi. But we also have a prophet named Habakkuk. And so if you, how many know of Habakkuk? Yeah, the correct pronunciation is Habakkuk. And no, I'm kidding. It's Habakkuk. I was in, we were in a preaching contest in college. And, well, you really hate to say a preaching contest because you're like, really? You guys preach for a contest? Yeah, we did. And the guy gets up and he goes, I'm talking out of the book of Habakkuk. And you can see everybody in the classroom go, where's he from? Like, it's not Habakkuk, it's it's Habakkuk. I got myself lost for a moment. All right, so anyway, today we're in Matthew chapter 22, verse 22-30. Hey, does anybody know whose glasses these are? I was going to wait till the end, but I want them out of my way. No? All right. If anybody needs a pair, they're right there. Okay, so we're in Matthew chapter 22, verse 34. 22-34. And as we look at 22-34, we're going to look at relationships. And the thing is, what we find is everything in the Bible, did you guys hear that? What did I just say? Okay, so you're without excuse. Everything in the Bible has to do with relationships. Everything. And you know how I can prove that? Scripture. Somebody say amen. All right, so here we go. 22:34 is where we're going to start. We're going to read 34 through 40. It says, but when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, let's just stop there for a moment. How many remember the Pharisees? They are your religious leaders, the priests, if you will. The rabbis, you know, if you had a name rabbi, you were somebody. If you were a Pharisee, you were of the rich elite rulers, the religious rulers. And then if you were you believed in the resurrection. So if you were a Pharisee, you believed in the resurrection. If you were a Sadducee, you did not believe in the resurrection. You do not believe in God. You do not believe in Jesus Christ. And therefore, you are sad, you see. And so, you guys got that, right? So, if you're a Sadducee, you do not believe in God, and therefore you're sad, you see. Okay. So, the Sadducees come in, and they plot, and if you back up, and back up in 22, you'll see where the Sadducees come in, and they're trying to trick Jesus. Obviously, they don't believe that he's God, therefore they think they're above him, and they try to trick God, and really, you think you're going to trick God? It's not going to happen. And so, the Pharisees went, oh, those Sadducees, they're lowlifes anyway, we're better than them, we'll roll in, and they bring in their elite lawyer. Yes. Right? The smooth talker. You can see, it goes all the way back to the Bible that they were scoundrels, right? Anybody in here a lawyer? Do not raise your hand. Okay, and if you want to be a lawyer, praise Jesus, you know, whatever. And so, just don't let us know about it until you tithe, and then, all right. So anyway, listen, we'll take the crooked money and honor Jesus with it. So that went over like a lead balloon. Somebody went, I am never coming back here again. He just said he'd take crooked money. We'll bless it. It'll be clean. And so, anyway, I'm just messing with you. Let's go back here. So in 34, it says that the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees. They gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, see, I wasn't kidding, asked him a question, testing him and saying, teacher, and of course, teacher, rabbi, that's what he's talking here, rabbi, if you will, which is the great commandment in the law? They're trying to catch him. They're trying to trick him. And here's what Jesus answered. In 37, he says, Jesus said to him, you, me, you, like us. Because it's not just here, it's for everybody. He says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And then the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Everything is hung on relationship. Everything. Sherry's cousins came into town. They got in town last night. They're probably on the road by now, so they definitely won't hear me. Man, them suckers stay up late. I'm thinking, you know, you yawn because you want to go, catch on to the hint. And then nobody catches on to it. So you yawn bigger. Man, I'm about to pass out. They still don't catch it. And you're going, okay, obviously they're not concerned about relationships. And so anyway, by 1:30 this morning, they went, oh, I'm tired. I better get to bed. And I'm thinking, I've been tired for 3 hours. You had no consideration on me. Then I went, no, not go to bed yet. I got my second wind. Hang on up here. We'll talk another 6 hours before you leave. I'm kidding. I didn't do that. I said, praise Jesus. And they went to bed. They're a great couple, though. We have a lot of fun. But at any rate, so it's relationships. And relationships come in all forms, fashions, and designs. Whether you have a relationship with God, which, by the way, is your first relationship. Jesus said, remember when he said about giving gifts, you being evil know how to give good gifts, how much more my Father in heaven, who's holy and righteous, how much better are his gifts. And so we see that our relationship, the first one that we have to get, that we have to nail down, we have to come together with, the first one is our relationship with God. That's the first. And if you don't have that down, you're going to struggle with all other relationships. Because if you don't have the relationship with God the Father, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, if that is not right, all other relationships will struggle. Because you don't have the right perspective. You're still thinking of you. It's all about you. And listen, when we have selfish relationships and we make it all about us, those are disastrous relationships. And all you need is one person in the house. Just one. I was talking to somebody last week, and a friend of mine, and she calls me up. And she says, "Listen, she's remarried, and her husband was paying his son's electric bill for the last 10 years." And I went, "Is he handicapped? He can't work? Is there an issue? Is there an issue?" No, he's 28 years old. He just refuses to work. That boy be sitting in the dark. Let me find my thumb and I'll play that instead of video games. And I go, are you serious? Yeah, and his mom has paid his rent for the last 10 years. And this boy isn't handicapped? No. If he was my son, he would be by now. Because I'd done hurt that boy. Right? And I'm thinking, are you kidding me? And so here he has this desire to do drugs. Everybody's paying his bills. And they said, well, if we quit, he'll go into a shelter. Let him go. Save some money. Well, I can't have him in a shelter. He's wrecking your lives. His poor relationship is destroying your good relationship. And so you have to cut that out. He's 28 years old. He's a big boy. He's capable. Send him out on his own and let him grow up and be a man. That was a soapbox message there. And what's happening is it has put such a strain on their marriage that all of a sudden they're butting heads because of somebody else's laziness. The relationship didn't matter to this kid or this man at 28 years old. He has no relationship with God, and therefore he's destroying the relationships with with the rest of the family. And so when we see this where it says here, Jesus says, let me tell you something. Let's look over here again in 37. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And if we want, we could take those three and we can dissect them. With all of your heart. That's that's with who you are. Your heart. Your heart consists of who you really are. No one knows the heart except for the Lord, right? Man doesn't know the heart of man. We don't know if it's deceitful. Yeah, we do. The Bible says it is. So for those of you who think you're righteous, back up. God says you're evil. I'm evil? Yes. By the way, listen, that's not coming from me. I'm just a messenger. That's what the Bible says. That's why we need to have our relationship right with God. Because if it's right with Him, it takes away our evil tendencies, our evil desires. And it's not so much that it gets rid of them, but what it does is it subdues them. Because the minute, how many Now, and I'm saying this because I'm going to raise my hand with you. If you'll raise your hand, how many of you, man, when you're right with God, all of your relationships right, you're confident, you're secure in who you are. You walk around, your chest is out, your shoulders are back, your head's held high, not because you're arrogant, but because you know who you are. And you love God, and God loves you, and there's that security there. And so it doesn't matter what happens, life is good, no matter what happens. And you're studying the Word of God, you're reading the Word of God, everything's good. And then you back up from your time with God, and then all of a sudden, guilt might start flowing in a little bit because you're remembering your past. You forgot that you're forgiven. And your shoulders kind of come down. Your chest gets sunken in a little bit. Your head starts hanging down a little bit. And then all of a sudden your relationships start getting strained. And they struggle because your confidence is gone. Because you quit spending time with God. Anybody ever been there? Yeah, isn't it? You're like, man, when I was right with God, I was thunder. And when I'm not right with God, I'm like a little mouse ready to run because somebody's going to run me over, I'm afraid. I'm telling you, there is a huge difference. And so when I find that my prayer life isn't right and that my study time isn't right and that my stuff with that should be with God isn't right because my heart isn't right, I find I start struggling. And then my relationship with my wife gets strained. My relationship with my girls gets strained. Why? Because I am not the godly man that God has called me to be. So first and foremost, our heart needs to be right with God. That is who we are. The real us. And so if you want to know the real you, look at your thoughts and look at your actions. And don't go, well, you know, basically all in all, he's a good person. There's none righteous. No, not one. That does good and sins not. How righteous can you be? So look at your heart and go, okay, where is my heart with God? Because that will determine your heart with your other relationships. You know, some of us say, well, I fell out of love with my spouse. No, you didn't. You let your heart get away with lustful desires because you walked away from God, and now you're looking at the grass being greener on the other side. And I'm telling you, the only reason it's greener on the other side is because that man's fertilizing it. You hear what I'm saying? And so maybe you need to stop and back up and fertilize your side a little bit. Put a little time in there. Women, you should have said amen right there. I set you up and you let the ball hit the floor. Man, listen, but that's what happens. And so you got to look at your heart. He says here that love the Lord your God with all your heart. And then with all your soul. With all your soul. That's your energy. If you will, put your soul into it, your energy into it, your attention into it. Man, put that in to your relationships. One of the biggest problems that we have that causes issues in relationships, whether you're married or you're not married, whether you're dating, whether you're looking to date, no matter what it is listen, if your energy is not into it, then your heart's not into it. And then all of a sudden, you have a strained relationship again. And it doesn't matter if it's with God or with a human being. The result is the same. You know, they say distance makes the heart grow fonder. No, it doesn't. How many think that distance with the heart, distance makes the heart grow fonder? If that's you, raise your hand. For the first week, two, or month, and then after that, you go, wow, this is strenuous. Then you get your own life. And then all of a sudden, next thing you know, when the distance closed up, now it's just interference. I mean, listen, you got to put your energy into it, and you got to keep your energy into it. Milton, I think of you, brother. Your wife is in Texarkana. You're here. Listen, God bless you, man, but that's a strained relationship. I'm pointing him out, not because he's got sin, but the fact he's living it, and he understands that. And so he's making daily Skype, daily phone calls. He's making biweekly trips. I mean, listen, he and his wife are making a point to love on each other because they understand that. And here we have local people. Your wife, your husband, your spouse is right there in the same household with you, and you guys find each other an irritation. I cannot believe I got an amen on that one. Oh, dear Lord, put your hand on that person. I know who it is, but I'm not calling them out. No, listen, what happens is we find it an irritation, and then, and listen, the longer that you allow your heart to grow apart and you're not grabbing your heart to secure that relationship, the longer that goes, the bigger the irritation becomes. And the next thing you know, it's a rash. How many have ever ridden bicycle? Okay. In the South, how many have ever done long trips on a motorcycle? Okay. I got a few in here, right? This is going to get me in so much trouble. I love riding my motorcycle, and I'll ride 1,000 miles in a day. I've done it a couple times, and you just roll out. Well, before I was wise in riding long distances, because let me just tell you something, anybody can jump on a motorcycle and go from store to store. But when you start going state to state, you got to have a little more wisdom. You know, you've heard the old adage that the brain can only take what the bottom can endure. Well, my mother was in the hospital, and so I was in Ohio, and I was living in North Carolina, and I had my own business, and so I would jump on the motorcycle and go up there every week, every other week, depending on what I could get away, and spend a few days with her, and then come home, and so it was a lot of miles, and I was taking the motorcycle. I'm thinking, man, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to enjoy it, right? And so one day, it was probably 85 degrees outside. And I'm riding, and of course, you know, you're hot, you're sweating, and the only thing between you and your bottom is pleather, or vinyl, if you will, and that starts creating heat, and then heat, and of course, you know, it's hot, and it's 85, so you're sweating, and that creates moisture, and then you're moving around because the heat and the moisture are together, which causes discomfort, and now it causes a rash. And I kept riding, and, you know, because I'm a man. I'll blow it off. Let's just keep going. I got to get there, right? And so I'm riding. Well, I'm about 3 hours out from my mom's hospital, and I couldn't bear it anymore. My manhood fell off the bike somewhere way back. And so I walk in. This is horrible. I walk into Walmart because Walmart is where they have everything. It's the saving place. And I'm going into Walmart. Right? Anybody, who's been here? Right? So I get in there, and I go, and everybody's looking at me now because I'm gingerly and gently walking. And I see the lady who works there, and I go, listen, I need help. And she goes, what? And I go, I need something. I got a rash from riding the motorcycle. And she goes, oh, I know what you need. And I'm like, thank you, Jesus. And so she goes, it's down here on the other side of the store. Right? I'm keeping up. And so we get there, and she hands me this tube. She goes, this is what you need. And I look at it, and here's the name of it. My wife will verify. That was in 2001. It is now 2014, and I have never been without it since then. 13 years. Are you ready? Boudreaux's butt paste. I'm just telling you. Me and Boudreaux are best of buddies. And so if you ever have a rash, go to Walmart, get Boudreaux's, and you're praising Jesus again. Don't use an excessive amount because you go from sore to slippery, and you gotta be careful of that. But listen, what happens with relationships that are unattended is you get a rash. And we're talking mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually. Every way you can think, you will have a rash, so to speak, if your heart is not in it and your energy is not feeding it. Everywhere you go. So then Jesus goes on and he says, by the way, this is just opening us up and getting us ready for when we go through, because I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to offend some of you in the next 5 weeks. Put it in your calendar, mark it down. Pastor said he's going to offend me. And your job is to go, okay, I'll get over it. You don't leave. And if you do, don't slam the door on your way out. I will offend you at some point. Not on purpose. And I will do it with the word of God and truth. So for the next 5 weeks, come ready to learn. And here is my challenge, guys, is that you just don't come and learn, but you prepare your heart to hear the truth, the hard truth, and pray for God to show you how to make the adjustments. Don't get offended. Don't get angry. Don't do that. And if you're wrong, listen, and all this stuff we're going to talk about, forgiveness is going to be in there. Oh my goodness. You're going to have to go to your spouse, to your mom, your dad, your grandparents, your aunt, your uncle, your brother, your sister, probably your brother and sister more than anybody. And you're going to have to go and look them in the eye, some of you, and say, please forgive me. Because I have really hurt this relationship. Some of you are going to be challenged. And so I'm just telling you right now, get ready, okay? So everybody's been warned? Amen? All right, so now you just know to deal with it, right? And then at my heathen, first one to leave. Unbelievable. I'm kidding. Everybody looks back like, who is that? All right, here we go. So then he says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all of your mind. Every thought that you have needs to be on God, on Christ. And here's the question. This is the question. Is what I am about to do, is what I am thinking, is what I am about to say going to please God or please me? If you ask yourself that question before you lash out, act out, point the gun, pull the trigger, before you do any of that, you ask yourself the question, is this going to honor God and please God, or is this going to please me? That needs to be the thought that runs through your brain. And the answer you give, and I've told people this before, the answer you give will tell you what God you're serving. The God of self or the God of the Bible. Your decision will determine what God you're serving, and that will determine your relationship. See how easy we can narrow this down, guys? Listen, it is not difficult to love God. It is not difficult to serve God. It's not difficult to understand. The difficult part is making the decision to do it. It's not even difficult to make the decision. The difficult part is to actually fulfill the decision you made, if you made it in favor, to follow through. How many times you went, Lord, I'm so sorry, and I'm never going to do this again, Lord, and I don't know why I keep doing this, but Lord, I'm going to fix it now, and it's not going to happen again. And then you wake up the next morning, Lord, I'm so sorry, I don't know why I keep doing this thing. And it, right? How many have ever been there? Yeah. Do you know why? Because you're feeding yourself. You're aiming to please you rather than you are God. And that's just going to cause hardship and heartache in your life. And then obviously that feeds over and bleeds over into other relationships. And so with your mind, listen, with your heart, you got to love God. With your soul, you got to love God. And with your mind, you got to love God. And let me tell you what that's all encompassing. Are you ready? That is your entire being. You cannot separate the three. You can understand what the three are, but you cannot separate them. You cannot say, well, listen, you know what? I thought about it and I prayed to God today, so I'm good. But your heart was still on your own selfish desires and on what you wanted to do, on what you want to accomplish, on the way you want to feel. And you didn't add God into that. You just kind of threw God into the mix of your day. There's a big difference. I don't know if anybody realizes that. It's your whole being has got to love God. I'm not going to satisfy the lust of the flesh. I'm not going to satisfy the lust of the flesh because my heart is sold out to God. And it's interesting because if you go into another gospel, it adds strength in there. So now it's not just your heart, your soul, and your mind. It's with all of your strength. Why is that added in there? Because, guys, I'm going to tell you, one of the hardest things to do is to surrender to yourself. The hardest thing to do is quit being selfish, quit being a baby, quit making the world all about you, because the more you make it about you, the harder it becomes. When you don't get your own way, the more difficult it becomes. And the more you pursue getting it your own way, the farther you're pushing away God, the farther you're pushing away your loved ones, the farther you're pushing away everything around you. I was talking about how Sherry's cousins came into town. They went on a vacation that took them all the way up into Maine. And I asked them, I said, hey, how'd you guys like Maine? They went Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont. They made this big loop, and they came down here, spent the night here. And then, because we have this agreement that, listen, if you're passing through, crash at our place, and we'll crash at yours. And I already told them that we'll take advantage of them more than they'll take advantage of us. But that's okay. It's good. And so as I was going through, and of course, the two parents were like, man, we loved it. We're going to go back. The youngest boy said, I really enjoyed it. I'd go back. The oldest boy said, I hated it. And I go, why did you hate it? And he goes, there's no people up there. It's just grass, trees, and moose. And so he goes, I hated it. And he goes, I couldn't even do my homework for school, because he goes to college. He goes, because they don't even have Wi-Fi up there. And he pulls out his phone and he goes, and you can't use that because they don't have cell service up there. And as I'm thinking about this, I thought, wow, you understand the need for relationships. Guys, we operate off of relationships. God made us relational beings. And when you have ungodly people in your life, it becomes very stressful. And that's why Jesus says, love the Lord your God first. And when you get a hold of that love and you understand that love, then you can love somebody else. If you miss that love or that love's not right, you're still pretty much about you. And God says, don't do it. Love me with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your strength, with everything you are, all of your soul. And then he goes into the second one. He goes, you get that one right, the second one's going to be easy. Look here in 39. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Wow. If we did that, we would probably have less than what we have now. And you go, why? Because you would be more interested in helping someone else succeed than taking so you can succeed. And if you were thinking and had the mind of Christ, you would be more interested in winning souls for the Lord. You would be more interested in honoring God with your time and your money and everything that you have. Instead, and this is so interesting, because when I talk about tithing, which is coming up in November, and I'll offend some of you then too. And so, I just thought I'd put it out there so you understand right up front. And so when it talks about tithing, you guys go, I love God, I love God. And then I say, hey, are you tithing? Are you giving to the Lord? That is none of your business. Don't shoot me, I'm just talking, right? And all of a sudden, your relationship shows. And God says that, listen, I want all of you, and if I have all of you, then nothing is an issue. You know what I'm saying? If you ask me, hey, do you tithe, do you give? And I'm not going to get worked up. I'm not going to get excited. And you know what I'm going to say? Yep. You don't need to know how much, when, how often, nothing else. I give unto the Lord. I'm good with that. Why? My relationship's right with God. Is it always right with God? No, but I never cheat him out of his money. I just cheat him out of other things. I'm afraid if I cheat him out of his money, my truck will quit running altogether, and then I'll be in trouble. I'm kidding. I'm not. But you get what I'm saying? If we give everything to God, then we can love others. But if we can't even give it to God, you're not going to give it to your neighbor. You're not going to love your neighbor as yourself. As a matter of fact, your neighbor is going to be part of that rash. Right? How many times? Listen, when we were doing the block party and I'd ask people, I'd say, hey, when's the last time you met your neighbor? Do you know your neighbor? And they go, nah. Did they just move in? Nah. How long have they been living here? 10, 12 years now, I guess. You've never met them? Nah. Really? I get in awe of that, but you know the reality is that's the norm today. They move in, and all most people do is talk about what they do. Do you know my neighbor does this? I seen him come in late last night, and I didn't know what they got. It just didn't look good. Well, why don't you go over and ask? Why don't you talk to them? Why don't you say, hello, my name is? Instead, we don't want to talk to them. We want to talk about them. That's not loving your neighbor as yourself. Or unless you talk about yourself all the time. Let me tell you what I did. You know what I did? And then just unload. Right? How cool would that be? Yeah, not one person's willing to do that. The difference is we need to love them. And if we're talking about them, we're not loving them. If we're staying away from them, we're not treating them as we would treat ourselves. Guys, you can't get the second part with the people right until you get the first part with God right. And so as we go through this relationship series, and we're going to talk about some things, and I'm just telling you, some of you guys have Facebook, and that is your God. That is your relationship. That is your, listen, you love Facebook, and you'd rather have Facebook over your spouse. Some of you are that way. Some of you go, nah, I just need that. That helps me get through the day. What got you through the day before you had all the electronics? What you got you through the, listen, that's another sermon. I'm not going to preach it, but here's my point. My point is that we don't stay focused on God. And this is what's crazy. I don't have time to read my Bible. Preacher, you don't understand. Really? But if I post something on Facebook, immediate response. I don't care if it's 10 a.m., 1 p.m., or midnight. Same person respond that quick. And I'm going, oh no, you ain't got time to pray or read your Bible because your nose is stuck in the computer on Facebook. Right? Guys, I'm telling you, if we're going to build a relationship, and by the way, that all the electronics, man, that's that virtual world that makes you feel like you're a part of something, but the reality is you're a part of nothing. Nothing. Nothing but nosy neighbors. That's it. Do you know why I go and look up friends on Facebook? Because I want to see how much weight they gained so I can compare how much I lost. Right? I'm getting better, they're getting worse. Man, their kids are growing up ugly, mine's growing up not. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we go on there to look at... Right? What is the motive for going on there? We got to see what they look like, what's going on in their life, because we want to compare our life to their life. It's destructive. I'll talk about that down the road. But until you love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and the second one, to love your neighbor, until you love God, you won't love your neighbor. I mean, that's just bottom line, guys, because you won't understand the relationship concept. Who gave us the idea of love? Where did love come from? Somebody tell me, where did the idea, the thought, and the ability to love, where did it come from? God. God. He gave it to us. He showed it to us. So why do we think we've got it mastered or we can live without it? Guys, I'm just challenging you today that for the next 5 weeks, you look at your relationships. The first one you start with is God. What is my relationship with my Savior like? And if not your Savior, then you got to fix that because you will not have a relationship with God if Jesus Christ is not your Savior. And you go, well, I can believe in God and I don't have to believe in Jesus Christ. They are one and the same. You cannot divide them. You can't divide them. They're inseparable. And Jesus says, listen, if you know my Father, you would know me. And if you don't know me, therefore you don't know my Father. That relationship thing. And all the time I tell people, and you guys know it, you hear it, you hear it, you hear it. Besides the fact that I say context, context, context. My next thing is, what is the picture? What's the big picture? Starts with an R. And I hear religious, righteousness. No, it's relationship. Your relationship will determine your life. It'll determine it. It'll determine your actions. It'll determine your heart. It'll determine your mind. And it'll determine your soul. Your relationship with God will determine every other relationship that you have. And you go, no, it won't. Yes, it will. Because listen, if you don't have it right with God, you're not going to get it right with anybody else. He is the one that brings it all together and completes the package. And it's not, I'm not telling you, look, oh, God is all love, because God truthfully is all love, but he's all just, and he'll reach out and slap you if you're doing wrong. Amen? Right? Anybody ever been there? Yeah. As a matter of fact, I was talking to Helen today, and she's like, yeah, he high-fives my face. Right? It's like, boosh, man, I got to do better. I mean, okay, maybe I'm the only one like the high-five in the face thing, right? I'm going to tell people, like, let me high-five your face, man. The relationship with God will determine every other relationship. How do we love God? What does it look like? Is your mind on him? Is your heart sold out for him? And do you put your energy into him? If that's not happening, your relationship is not right. It's just not right, guys. And you can make all the excuses you want. You can justify all you want. And you can blame all you want. But if it's not right with God, you're not right with anybody else. So, the next 5 weeks, as we look at this, as we talk about this, you need to ask yourself every week, how do I measure up in that area of my life with God? And if you stay focused on that, the other relationships, they fall right into place. Or they fall right out of your life. Because there are some that you're going to go, that's unhealthy, I need to get rid of it. And then other people are going to come in and go, well, you can't give up on them. They got to hear, they're that close. How do you know? I've tried, and listen, there have been relationships of people that I've had in this church where I've tried 2-3 years, and I finally went, you know what, man? I'm here, but I'm done. You know what? When you put the energy into this relationship that I've put the energy into, we'll talk again. And then people come to me, Pastor, that's so wrong. And that is ungodly. How can you do that? I'm pursuing righteousness. I'm pursuing God. And if you want to jump in there, fantastic. And if you don't, then you got to go your way. But if my relationship is right with God, by the way, how many times did God say, away from me, you worker of iniquity? How many times did God say, I rebuke you and I turn you over to your reprobate mind? How many times did that happen? Listen, God didn't hang in there every moment, every fight, all the way. There were times where God said, away from me. Sometimes we got to make the hard decisions. But if we're going to grow our relationship with him and we're going to be right with God, we got to make those adjustments over here. And some of you are dating and you need to get rid of that date. I'm just saying. You're like, well, you don't know. He's good 40% of the time. Really? Well, you hang in there on that 40, right? Well, he only beats me on Friday and Saturday when he drinks, but the rest of the time he apologizes. Right? It happens. Well, he only makes me feel bad, so I stay with him. So it just shows that he needs me. Get your relationship right with God, and it'll be right everywhere else in your life. That's what you got to work on. The next 6 weeks, my challenge is for you to see where you're at with God. And the rest, I promise you, will fall into place if that one's right with the Lord. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for today. Lord, I pray your hand upon this message, Lord, for the next 5 weeks. Lord, that we truly stop and look at where our lives are, Lord, that who are we committed to? Lord, do we communicate? Are our contacts bad for us or good for us. Lord, do I have character? Lord, as we look through these things, Lord, is cash my God or are you? Lord, as we look through each topic, Lord, help us to see and understand. Lord, help us to grab hold of the truths of your word, Lord, even if they're not palatable. Lord, even if they're not digestible. Lord, even if they don't go down well. If they make us feel bad, Lord, if it causes us to make hard decisions, Lord, I pray right now that no matter what the cost, we would make sure that our relationship with you is right. Lord, for without you, we can do nothing. And I know you're speaking of that spiritually. But Lord, help us to understand that without you, we truly can't do anything that's going to honor you. And that we will be out of balance. With every head bowed and every eye closed, and there's some of you here that you don't know Jesus as your Savior. You're not saved. You're not born again, as the Bible says in John chapter 3. And if you don't have Jesus as your Savior, you'll never be right with God. You'll just never be right. Because you'll have no relationship. The first step of that relationship is receiving Christ as your Savior. Repenting of your sins. And so if you're here today, I want to give you an opportunity to receive Jesus as your Savior. Because until that happens, guys, you'll never grow in the grace of God because you won't have His hand on your life. If you're here today and you say, you know, I want to know God. I want to know Him intimately. I want to know Him very, very personally. I want Him the God of my life. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe that Jesus rose from the grave. I believe that Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. I don't understand it all, but I believe what the Bible says to be true.